We're in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, and some of these parshias we tend to doze off in the middle. Karbonos, Tzaras, Tazria. So Rabosai, it's time to wake up. This week's parsha, it's so relevant, so halacha lemaisa, that comes out of the first few words of this week's parsha, Isha ki Tazria. You know, we're very well aware that there are different ways that a child could be born. And Baruch Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom has guided us that even if a natural birth is not possible, we have the ability to deliver a child in what's known in medical terms as a C-section. I don't know the exact medical terms. Cesarean section, right? But what's known in halacha as a yotzei dofen. You're going through the wall. You're not going through the vaginal birth. And that's called a yotzei dofen. So that's what I'd like to discuss, the beginning of the halachos of a yotzei dofen. There are many different halachos that pertain to a yotzei dofen, a non-natural birth, both pertaining to Yerushas HaBchor, the inheritance of the firstborn, and in terms of Pidyon HaBen. But what's very relevant, and halacha lemaisa often, and sometimes people cover it up, you don't even always know why exactly certain things are happening, and people are scheduling certain things, certain times, but it actually turns out why certain meal, when you count up the days, it should be that the meal is on this day, and for some reason it's not, and people say, oh, the baby was yellow. It's not always yellow. Sometimes it's because people are trying to hide that it was a C-section. For whatever reason, they don't want to share that. So let's delve into the halachos of C-sections and its ramifications on halacha lemaisa, on the mila process and when the mila takes place. So the Gemara in source number 1 in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey addresses the first few words of this week's parsha. Amar Rav Asi, kol she'ima tmeya leida, any person whose mother that delivered the baby is impure from the childbirth, namely, that blood came out, which ultimately makes her tameh, which is the beginning of this week's parsha as well, that she has what's called tumas leida. She becomes impure because of the delivery process. So she had a natural birth. So then, nimo lishmona. V'chol she'ein imo tmei leida, ein nimo lishmona. Says Rav Asi, I have a chiddush. This halacha, that you get a bris mila on the eighth day, it's all dependent on the mother, how the delivery took place. If it was a natural birth, a vaginal birth, then it will be on the eighth day. However, if it was not, namely what? A yotzei dofen. So then, it will not be a mila on the eighth day. Shenamar, how do I know this? Because of the first phrase, the first pasuk in this week's parsha, Isha ki Tazria, v'yolda zechar, utmea, a woman who conceives and then she ultimately delivers a male child, utmea, and she becomes impure. How did that happen? Because blood came out. Ubayom hashmini, imal b'sar ablosol. The next pasuk is mitzvas mila. So says Rav Asi, let's put two and two together, let's link these two psukim, and says Rav Asi, obviously the Torah is coming to tell us that there's a linkage between tumas leida of the mother, the fact that the mother is impure from the delivery, and the concept of the eighth day being bris mila. Now some of us are, I see I'm getting a few stares over here, that, you know, Rabbi Belazon, you're trying to put a fast one on us. We already spoke about mila once this year. This is not the first time the Torah is introducing to us the concept of mila. So says the next line, Amr le Abaye, Dorus harishonim yochichu, she'eini matmeya leida, v'nima l'shmona. Says Abaye, Rav Asi, I don't know what you're trying to pull on us, but there's a person called Avram Avinu, the first of our forefathers. And he was given the commandment of bris mila.
And in his commandment it said, Ben Shmonas Yomim Yimo B'sar L'Laso. So there is a concept of Shmini, and guess what? There was no Tumas Leida that was existing, because Tumas Leida, the whole concept of impurity after birth, and Nida and all these impurities are only said in this week's Parsha. So how could you pull this fast one and tell us 8th day is considered, is linked to Tumas Leida? Amar Le, he said back to him, you're right. Nitna Torah v'nischad sha'alacha. You're right, from a historical perspective and our historical approach, you're 100% right. But things change. And we had something in Parshas Yisro called Matan Torah. And Matan Torah, once we became Jewish and we received the Torah, all of the halachos changed. So now that there is a concept called Tumas Leida, so then 8th day is linked to Tumas Leida. And whatever happened to Avraham Avinu happened to Avraham Avinu. What does that have to do with us? Fine. So the Gemara goes on and challenges. Ini v'ha'itmar. Is this really true? This is what Rav Asi is presenting, that there's a link between Tumas Leida, a natural delivery, and the 8th day being the day that we should perform the Mila. Is this really true? But I have a contradiction to this. V'ha'itmar. Yotze Dofen, Umish Yeshlo Shtei Arlos. Let's focus on the Yotze Dofen right now, the C-section that we're talking about. Rav Huna v'Rav Chiya Barav have a machlokas. Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav had a debate regarding the C-section, regarding the Yotze Dofen. Chad Amar Mechalalin Olavas HaShabbos? What happens if the 8th day falls out on Shabbos? Do we practice the Mila just like we do by everyone? Normally, that if it falls out, the 8th day, the Mila Shabbazmana, the Mila that falls out on Shabbos, the 8th day, we will actually carry it out on Shabbos, even though it is technically, were it not for the mitzvah, a violation, a desecration of Shabbos? Or do we not do so because it's this non-classic birth, this Yotze Dofen, this C-section? So Chadamar Mechalalan Olavas HaShabbos V'Chadamar Ein Mechalalan. They had a debate. Will you be Mechal Shabbos that 8th day, or will you not be Mechal Shabbos that day? But the Gemara says, I'm not really interested right now in the point of Chilul Shabbos. I want to use this to attack Rav Asi's whole approach. The Gemara says, Ad Kan Lo Pligi, the whole debate amongst the Amoraim between Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav was only focused on Chilul Shabbos. Do we desecrate the Shabbos? Do we not desecrate the Shabbos? But no one said boo. No one said anything about the fact whether or not, if it's in a weekday, will we wait till the 8th day? Obviously, they were all assuming, aside from the issue of Chilul Shabbos, everything else is going to be carried out as normal, and we're going to wait till the 8th day in order to carry out the Mila. Aval Lishmona, Vaday Mahalin Amlay. But to wait for the 8th day, to have a normal bris on the 8th day if it's a weekday? So of course the C-section will have a normal 8th day bris. So the Gemara is challenging this challenge on Rav Asi, that apparently from all the Amoraim, you see that there is an 8th day on the C-section. I'm sorry, challenging Rav Asi, that Rav Asi was of the opinion that if the woman is not having a natural birth, there's no Tumas Leida, so it's not going to be an 8th day bris. But apparently all the Amoraim were of the opinion that there would be an 8th day bris over here.
So according to Rav Asi, there would not be a bris?
No, there would be a bris, but it wouldn't be on the 8th day, it would be right away. There's no point to wait. Like
at what time cesarean section was introduced?
I'm not sure.
At what time this machlokas came?
Oh, this was happening long, long, long time ago. Yeah, this existed. I'm sure. I don't know, but I don't know the medical details about what existed. But yeah, this is the C-section. Yeah. It could be it even existed in times of our avos, meaning it could be that there were these two ways to deliver. That it seems like that existed then, and you know, you have to go in.
That might not be that the mother survived, but
right. I mean, that really depends on where they were holding medically in terms of suturing up, and you know, I don't know. Do we have any sources in the psukim for a C-section? I'm not sure. So the Gemara answers, it's not a proof. No, that debate that Rav Huna and Rav Chia were debating whether or not this cesarean section will be Docha Shabbos, will override Shabbos, Haba Hatalia, says the Gemara. That is just the same way of arguing whether or not the Milah takes place on the eighth day. Namely, says the Gemara, if you hold like Rav Asi that there is no eighth day, right? So then there's no Tchiyah Shabbos. The Milah takes place right away, and we're not going to wait till Shabbos. We're not going to be Docha Shabbos. If you hold that there's no linkage between the natural birth of a mother and the Tumas Leda, that is what affects the eighth day bris. So if it's not linked, so then you're not going to be Docha Shabbos. If it is linked, then not only are you going to have to wait for the eighth day, you're actually going to be Docha Shabbos, like the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, Vayom HaShmini, Yimol B'sar HaLaso, that it's on the eighth day. That which carries out on the eighth day, so he is going to be Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Haba HaKalia, it's all one package deal. Now the Gemara in source number 3, a little further on that daf, I gave you a space of the Rambam in the middle to give you that impression, lower down on the daf. The Gemara says that this debate was not only later on in the Amoraim, but it even existed already in the times of the Tanoim, in the times of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chama Omer, you know, the concept of Mila is something that's relevant. We already learned in Parshas Lech Lecha. Not only to our children, but the Gemara tells us, and the Psukim speak about, the fact that at the times of Chazal, you know, we don't practice this now, but we own slaves. And we own slaves that we, in essence, converted from non-Jews, and they worked for us, and they went through a conversion process, and they became Jewish. And part of our obligation, and relevant to the times, to the Korban Pesach that we're about to eat, if we did not carry out the mitzvah of Milah on our slaves, and even the slaves' children that exist, and that were born to us when we were hosting these slaves in our domain, so then we were not even permitted to eat Korban Pesach. This had major ramifications. So one of the chiyuvim of Parshas Milah that's learned out in Parshas Lech Lecha is not only you should be mal yourself, you should mal your son, but Avraham Avinu had to mal his slaves. So the Gemara talks about this issue of maling, of circumcising the slaves. Rabbi Chama Omer, Yolda v'acher kach hitbila zehu yilid bayis shenimo le'echad. If I have a child of a slave that was born prior to me fully converting the mother, the shivchaknanis, the mother slave, and she's not fully Jewish before I convert her, I didn't dip her into the mikvah. So then, that's going to have ramifications when I carry out the milah for the child. Then, I do the milah on the first day. However, hitbila v'acher kach yolda, zehu yilid bayis shenima l'shmona. However, I bought her, I converted her, she went into the mikvah, and then she had a child in my domain, that child is fully Jewish. And that child will have the eighth day bris like a normal Jewish child as my slave. So Rav Chama is saying that this issue of Shmini is going to have relevance to the son of a slave that is in my domain. V'tana Kama, says the Gemara, and the first opinion, the Tana Kama, lo shanile ben hitvila v'acher kach yolda, ben yolda v'acher kach hitbila. The Tana Kama does not make this distinction that Rav Chama makes, and rather I don't care if the mother goes to the mikvah after she has the child, that slave, that second slave, the child, her child, or she went to the mikvah beforehand, no matter what it is, it's not going to make a difference. And says the Gemara, we shouldn't all be surprised. This machlokas tanoim is exactly the same machlokas that we pointed out at the beginning of this year. Da'afal gav de'ein imo tmiya leida nimo lishmone. So the Gemara is saying that what's the yisod, what are they fundamentally arguing about? Rabbi Chama and Tanakama, about this child of a slave, whether or not we carry out the milah on the Shiyom HaShmini or not. So Rabbi Chama says, well, it all depends if the mother was Jewish at the time of the delivery. Because if she's not Jewish, then a non-Jew doesn't have Tumas Leida. Tuma is only something that is prescribed to Jewish people. And I say that in a positive sense. Tuma, we often have a response that it's a very negative thing. But if you look at the Mefarshim on the Torah, you look at the Sifrei Machshava, Tuma and the Shemin Shmuel, the Avnei Nezer, the Arachayim HaKadosh, they write that Tuma is a function of someone who has unbelievable potential. If you have the potential, if you could be a Kadosh, if you could be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, if you could be Osek B'Toyru B'Mitzis, so then when you die, so now you're just a goof. Now that creates Tumas Meis. Now a Kohen can't walk into that same house that this body without that neshama exists anymore. If you are a Gentile, you never had that capacity in the first place. You never had the ability to really fulfill a mitzvah, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the fullest extent. Okay, so he died. But he was a goof before, he was a goof afterwards. What's the difference? There's no loss of potential. The whole yesod of Tumah is loss of potential. But says Rabbi Chama, and I challenge all of you to think of why Tumas Leida, which is what we're talking about, why is that loss of potential? If anything, the contrary. Tumas Leida is the ultimate potential. This is what I'm creating with a child. That's a question that the Shemin Shmuel discusses in this week's Parsha. That why should this be a loss of potential? But we'll leave that for now. So we're Yotze the Machshava Chelek already in the middle. So says the Gemara, that's exactly the same debate. Rabbi Chama and Tanakama are saying, do you need Tumas Leida? Do you need a natural delivery in order to have the eighth day to be the Yom HaShmini for Mila? Or do you say, no, it's irrelevant, and Rav Asi's whole opinion to begin with was not the correct opinion? So how do we paskin? We have a lot of opinions going on here in this Gemara. What's the psak l'maisa? Person calls up. I had a cesarean section. I want to know when to call eighth day keter. We're getting a lot of shirim with eighth day keter. We're doing a lot of publicity here. Baruch Hashem. So now I want to know, when do we call? What's the day? When do we schedule the bris? Okay. Well, on the one hand, I could say we have Rav Asi. That's number one. And then we have two opinions that debate Rav Asi's opinion, and the Gemara says it's Habba Atalia, so that's already two on Rav Asi's side, that's for sure. Okay, so two against one for sure, so then maybe we should link them and say Tumas Leida, you should need Tumas Leida for Yom HaShmini. So that's half of the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim are of the opinion, count it up, two against one, Paskin, that's the way you should Paskin like Rav Asi. Other Rishonim say, whoa, you're totally forgetting about the debate amongst the Tanoim. There's a debate. This didn't start with the Zman of the Amoraim after the time of the Mishnah. No, this existed long before, already in the time of the Tanoim. And this was a debate between who? Tanakama, the nameless person, and Rabbi Chama. So Rabbi Chama, we know, was one person. Tanakama, you know why it's vague? You know why we don't have a name? Says half the Rishonim, because that's the majority opinion. So that's the way you should paskin, argues half the Rishonim. And say, there's absolutely no linkage in this week's Parsha of the first Pasuk that a woman needs a natural delivery if the Mila will be on the eighth day. That's not true at all. The Mila is always on the eighth day, no matter what. And I don't care if it was a C-section, no matter what, we paskin like Tanakama. Okay? Seems like a machlokis amongst the Rishonim. But then, comes along the Beis Yosef, in source number 5, and the Beis Yosef suggests, okay, we presented already, this is brought in the Ran, different shitas, the Rabbeinu Yonah, half of the Rishonim, some paskin like this, some paskin like this. Says the Beis Yosef, if you look at majority of the Rishonim, and you see the way they portray and depict the conclusion of the Gemara, they say, it's not really clear what the conclusion, to be honest, is. We really don't know what to do. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, what is our conclusion going to have to be? So let's skip to the Rambam, and we'll see, possibly through the eyes of Beis Yosef, where the Rambam came from, and this will possibly shed light on the Psak Lahalach. Comes along the Rambam in Hilchos Mila, and Paskins, part of the issue in this Gemara. Kishem Shemilas Habonim Doches HaShabbos, just like we have precedent that you can be mal and desecrate the Shabbos and fulfill the mitzvah of Mila for your children, kach milas ha'avodim, so too by your slave, nimolun l'shmona, dochas ha'shabbos. Imchal shmini shalem shabbos, if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos. Chutz, mi'lid bayis shalot tavla imo, ad shiyolda, afal pisha nimol l'shmona, eno dochas ha'shabbos. However, says the Rambam, if the child was born to that woman who's your slave, and she did not yet fully convert herself, so then you are missing something, and you do not have the ability to be Docha Shabbos. Okay, that's interesting. The Ravid comes and attacks the Rambam and says as follows. I don't understand. Kosava Ravid Zal, the end of that line, Lo Yadati Mahu. He doesn't understand. Zea Hefrish. V'ulai Mifneshu Mesupuk Im Halacha Kirabi Chama Demaflik Betfila Ulinyan Mircha Shabbos L'chumra V'lo Dachi. Says the Ravid as follows. It sounds like within the Rambam that he wasn't sure exactly how to paskin, argues the Ravid in the Das of the Rambam. And he wasn't sure, maybe I should paskin like Rabbi Chama, or maybe I should paskin like Tanakama, and therefore I'm going to take the stringent conclusion of both, and therefore when my question on the table is if I should do it right away, or I should wait till the eighth day, so what's going to be the stringent conclusion? Wait till the eighth day. Maybe you have a mitzvah to do it on the eighth day, and if you do it on the first day, like we spoke about, I would say 3 months ago, we mentioned in the Shir and Parshas Yisro, you might not be Yotze the Mitzvah if you do the Mila too early. So therefore the Rambam had to be Machmer and said, when it comes to the question of 1 versus 8, wait till 8. However, when it comes to the other question of whether or not this child, this C-section, or this other type of non-Tumas laid the child because the mother wasn't Jewish, so, should you be Docha Shabbos? So there in the Rambam says, what's going to be the stringent conclusion of that question? Yes, being Docha Shabbos or not being Docha Shabbos? So the stringent conclusion of that is, sit tight, wait till Sunday. I'm sorry you might miss the eighth day, but you know what? I'd rather not be too risky and possibly get skila for giving Mila to this child. I'd rather not die by carrying out this mitzvah. Says the Rambam, we're going to be Machmir and we're not going to allow Zechias Shabbos. That is the conclusion of the Ravid. That's the conclusion that's presented in source number 5 of the Beis Yosef, as well as many of the Rishonim, that this is all one big suffix. You have many different shitas. Okay, some decided to take it under their belt to be machriya and say, Vaday, no, yes. But the Rambam apparently did not have this conclusion. Doesn't sound like the Ravid's arguing. He's suggesting that was the reason.
Why does the Rambam use the word Tumas Laida?
Why not?
Isn't
that the issue?
Huh?
But that's the Gemara, because the Gemara is linking the issue of the child that's born to the mother to Rav Asi's issue of Tumas Laida, which is this pasuk in this week's parsha. So this is just another form, another way of having Tumas Laida without the cesarean section. Oh, why he didn't? I'm sorry.
He didn't use the word Tumas Laida, not giving the reason. Well, like you said, he says that there's a reason not to be Docha Shabbos. He just doesn't put in the word Tumas Laida.
Oh, he doesn't put in the word. I thought you said he does. I didn't realize.
He doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Right here? Interesting.
Very interesting.
Right. Yeah. Right. So comes along Reb Chaim Brisker, and Reb Chaim Brisker suggests the following analysis on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Reiv. But if there is a machlokas. Or just to shed new light into the Shitas of Rambam, not necessarily the way the Ravid's presenting. The Ravid says again, Lo yadatu ma'uzeh ha'hefrish, v'ulai mipnei shu mesupok im halacha k'rabi chama, demaflik b'tvila l'inyin mitcheshabes l'chumra. If you take the Ravid's statement at face value, it seems like the Ravid had absolutely no problem with learning in the Gemara that there was one opinion that held that this child, even though the mother did not fully convert and did not do tefillah yet, we will desecrate the Shabbos when it comes to the child. Comes along Reb Chaim and says, that's a little bothersome. Let's say you're on a Beis Din and you are converting people. And part of the conversion process is to carry out the mitzvah of milah. Would you ever decide to do that mitzvah milah of the ger on Shabbos? Absolutely not. That is not an option. We do not decide. When do we decide to do gers? We look into our calendar. We see when's it convenient, when I don't have another appointment. And I decide, we'll come to Beis Din, we'll be Megayer the convert. You're going to decide punked on Shabbos to do that when you could do it on Sunday? There's no rush. There's nothing pressing. So comes along Reb Chaim and says, I don't even understand the whole Ravid's pshat. The Ravid says, I don't know why the Rambam came to this conclusion. Pick your shita. If you want to pick the opinion that we don't need Tumas Leida, so then the mother is not even Jewish, so let's be mal the kid on Shabbos. No problem. We don't need Tumas Leida. Let's be mal the kid on Shabbos. Let's have the meal on Shmini. Absolutely no problem. Says Reb Chaim, but this kid's not going to be Jewish yet. Because how do we convert people? We first give them circumcision, we first circumcise them, and then they go to the mikvah. So at the time of the circumcision, they're not fully Jewish. You're going to be mechal Shabbos for the conversion process, says Reb Chaim? Doesn't make sense. So Reb Chaim, in his brilliance, suggests that one could answer this question based on a machlokas in the Rishonim, which I think we've discussed. I think we discussed it last year a few times, that there is a debate amongst the Rishonim in their analysis of the conversion process. What happens if Beis Din decides they want to be a little creative today? Let's flip the order of conversion. The mikvah is right here. The mol is not coming till tomorrow. So we're right, the Beis Din, you see, it's not so easy. The Beis Din has to convene, they have to be outside the mikvah. It's not so easy, we have to group all ourselves together. So we'll do the mikvah first, and then we'll do the milah tomorrow. Is that appropriate or not? So that is a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. Where did the Rishonim derive this from? Where did this all come from? So the Gemara has a case of a mu'uberes shenisgaira, a pregnant woman that went into the mikvah. So the Gemara says that the tefillah process for the geirus of the mother not only worked for the mother, it also worked for the child. And the Gemara doesn't stipulate or explain or clarify that it's specifically for a female child. The Gemara says no matter what that child ends up being, that geirus, that tefillah, that immersion process is good for not only her but for the child as well. So come along the Rishonim and say, wait a second, hold on. I do not understand this Gemara one bit. What happens if this child ends up being what? A male. Then you're going to have the immersion process that happened 3 months ago. You're going to have the milah once the child is born. You just did things out of order. So comes along Tosus and Tosus says, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. It's not appropriate and it's not accepted to do things out of order.
Maybe the child's born Jewish.
The Rishonim are apparently not assuming that because the Gemara is saying the tefillah is ola to the child. So it sounds like there's a geirus process that's happening not only for the mother and for the child as well. So comes along Tosfos and says, you're right. It's not appropriate to flip the order. However, this is not the classic case of a ger that's sitting in front of you saying, I want to be Megayer and convert, and we decide out of our own convenience to flip the order because we can't meet tomorrow by the mikvah. This is a child that's in a fetus that Tosel says, at this point in time, I could envision this child kinekeva damya. It's as if it's a female, even if at the end of the day it's going to be a zacher. Tosel says, we view it at the time of the process. It's a yotzim in a klal. It's an exception to the rule, says Tosel. Because it was impossible right now to do the mila when it's covered by the mother. However, says the Ramban, that's not the case. You're 100% right. The Ramban says, you're 100% right. Mu'beresh in his gaira, a pregnant woman that goes into the mikvah, that the Gemara says the tvila, the immersion process, works not only for the mother but also for the child, is a proof that you could flip the order. The order is not problematic, it's not ma'akev. And there's no problem to carry out the immersion process before the mila process. So says Reb Chaim in his brilliance, oh, that's how I could explain this idea of the Ravid. How is it possible that the Ravid envisioned us to be Mechallel Shabbos for someone who's not even going to be Jewish, who has so much left to actually finish the process? He has to go back to the mikvah? No. Maybe the Ravid holds. You could flip the order. Maybe the Ravid holds that at this meal is after the tefillah, and once you perform the meal, the kid's going to also be Jewish. It's going to happen simultaneously, and you are going to be full Jewish, and it's going to be considered a Jewish meal, and that's what's desecrating the Shabbos. And the Rambam possibly held like Tosfos that you can't flip the order. So that's what Reb Chaim suggests at the beginning. But then Reb Chaim says, that's all fine and nice when it comes to Avodin. When it comes to this case that the Rambam and the Ravid are discussing. But what's going to be the nature of the debate? What's going to be the analysis of the Rambam when it comes to the halacha of Yotzei Dofen, of a C-section? What is going to be the Rambam's conclusion? How do we explain the shittas of the Rambam and this conclusion over here when it comes to the C-section? Why did the Rambam derive this conclusion when it comes to a regular C-section, even not talking about Avadim? Nothing to do with not being Jewish. The kid's fully Jewish. He doesn't even have to go through the conversion process. Your Hesbeirim and explanations that are relevant for Geirus, for conversion, are irrelevant when it comes to a C-section. So says Reb Chaim, I need to come and derive a new conclusion. So says Reb Chaim as follows. He says, the Rambam derived his conclusion, I want to suggest, says Reb Chaim, not like any one of the Rishonim. And this will have unbelievable ramifications la'alach. Says Reb Chaim, if you ask the Rambam, is it Docha Shabbos? It might not be Docha Shabbos. But the reason why he paskins that a C-section still is carried out on the eighth day when it falls out on a weekday, that's not because the Rambam was just being machmir and was nervous, betorah suffik, and that he was doubtful and he wasn't sure how to paskin amongst the opinions in the Gemara. Because Reb Chaim says, if you look through the Gemara, I can tell you how the Rambam read the Gemara, totally differently than anything we've suggested, and it wasn't betorah suffik. Because the truth is, the Rambam tells you nothing that seems to shed light that he's mesupak. The Rambam says, it's not Docha Shabbos, but it is eight. And the Rambam doesn't say, because I don't know who to paskin, because I don't know who's right, because I can't make up my mind. The Rambam knew how to make up his mind. The Rambam doesn't sound like, says Reb Chaim, that he was being machmir and stringent because he was in a situation of doubt. So says Reb Chaim, go back to source number one. And says, Rav Asi starts off with this week's parsha, that there's Tumas Leida that's linked to Nimo Lishmona. The eighth day circumcision is only for one who went through, a mother who went through a natural birth. But then Abayi comes in the next line and says, Doros harishonim yochichu, she'eni matmea leida v'nimo lishmona. Comes along Reb Chaim and says, there's two ways that we can read that line. One could read, as we've been learning up until now, that there's a debate in the Gemara. There are many different opinions, and you got to count numbers like we presented before amongst the Rishonim. Is there a linkage between Tumas Leida or not? And Abayi is saying, I know from Avram Avinu that there's not. And Rav Asi, you're dead wrong. And Rav Asi is saying, Abayi, whatever you said is a historical approach that has no relevance once Matan Torah happened, so leave me alone. And there's a debate about this linkage or not. Comes along Reb Chaim and says, no, That's not the way the Rambam led the Gemara. The Rambam had a totally different learning than the Gemara. Abayi said, Rav Asi, you're 100% right. Everybody has to learn the pasuk in this week's parsha. There is a linkage of Tazria, Isha ki Tazria, V'yaldu Zachar, V'tama Shivasyam, the Tuma is connected to Bayom Hashmini, Imo Psar Aloso. It's clear, there's a linkage. However, that's one parsha of Mila. But Abayi says there's another parsha that commanded us in Mila, and that's the commandment in the parsha of Avram Avinu, that was said in Parshas Lech Lecha. So it's true, I do agree that there's a linkage in the parsha, and that will have relevance lahalacha, and will have relevance halacha lemaisa on how we're going to paskin based on the outcomes of this week's parsha. And therefore, I'm going to tell you, Abayi is going to agree that this person will not be docha Shabbos, because the only person that could be docha Shabbos is anyone who plugs into this week's parsha of Ubayom, Ubayom afilu b'Shabbos, the pasuk that's telling us that Mila overrides Shabbos. And if you're not in that parsha because your mother did not have a natural birth, so then you cannot be docha Shabbos. However, comes along Abayi and says, Rav Asi, I'm an easy guy. I think your drushes are beautiful. I think they're accepted. I think they're halacha l'maisa. But I have another parsha that I have the ability to work with. That it's true I don't have the Yom HaShmini from Parshas Tazria because my mother is not Tmei Aleda, but I do have the Ben Shmonas Yomim. I do have the pasuk that was said to Avram Avinu that there is a concept of eighth day even without Tumas Leda, because Sarah was not impure. So Abayi is saying we don't have to ignore the parsha of Parshas Lech Lecha. I agree with your drasha, and therefore it's going to have relevance legabe Hilchos Shabbos, but comes along the Rambam and learns in Abaye that Betorah Zvadai, a person that was delivered in a C-section, will get a meal on the eighth day, not because the Rambam's saying we're not sure at a paskin. Person calls up and asks the shaila and says to the Rambam, What's the psak? I want to know. My wife just had a C-section. Should we schedule the bris on the eighth day or not? So everything we've been saying up until now, the Beis Yosef, the Ravid, the opinion of many of the Rishonim, the rabbi, he's going to start schwitzing on the phone. I don't know. Rav Asi, Rav Huna, Rav Chia, you know, Rabbi Chama, Tanakama, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, the Rambam, you know, we don't want to. But the Reb Chaim's telling you, the Rambam will tell you, no! Eighth day about the eighth day! There's no question! That's Avram Avinu! You're a ben of Avram Avinu! Of course you're going to get a meal on the eighth day! Shabbos! Okay, that's Parshas Tazria. That's this week's Parsha. That's not going... Says Reb Chaim, there are two Parshos that teach us the mitzvah of Mila. And those two Parshos, according to the opinion of the Rambam, have relevance, la'alacha. Comes along Reb Chaim and says, look at the Gemara. When the Gemara said, Ini, that we read, V'ha'itmar yotzei dofen, Rav Huna, Rav Chira, Chadamar mechalon alav as HaShabbos, V'chadamar ein mechalon, the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that the debate amongst the Amoraim was only about Chilul Shabbos. But everyone agreed that there was a meal on the eighth day. Why did the Gemara have that assumption? Aren't those two things linked? Isn't it, you can't have one without the other? You can't have eighth day if you don't have Chilul Shabbos. And if you have eighth day without Tumas Leda, so you're gonna have Chilul Shabbos also without Tumas Leda. Where do you get this split? The Gemara never introduced a split. Comes along Rambam and says, no, Abayi was introducing a split. And that's where the Rambam came to his conclusion. There's a concept from Avram Avinu of eighth day, irrespective of a natural birth of Tumas Leda. And there's this week's parsha that's going to teach us about Shabbos. And those two things don't necessarily have to be Haba HaTalia, like the Gemara suggested. So that was the source of the Rambam's psak. We don't have time to get into it, Rabosai. There's so much more to talk about. But this will have unbelievable ramifications, not only the tone of the rabbi when he answers the shaila about a C-section, whether it's going to be Betoras Vadai, through certainty that of course it's on the eighth day, even though it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. And that's the way we learn the Rambam, not like the Ravid suggested. But this might have relevance when Yontif Sheni, and the Mila falls out or gets pushed off to Yontif Sheni, based on this Shitas HaRambam and this analysis of Reb Chaim, this could change the whole picture and could change all Psak HaLacha of whether or not we are going to allow the Mila on that day. Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll have the ability to talk about it. But not only that, Rabosai, this linkage between Tumas Leida, the natural birth, and Yom HaShmini, according to some of the poskim, might even have relevance, halacha lemaisa, to an IVF birth. Is an IVF birth Docha Shabbos? So the poskim discuss, based on everything we've been talking about, based on the opening psukim in this week's parsha, it will have relevance for not only IVF births, it will have relevance legabe the shailos of Yontif Sheni and a lot of halacha shailos, and have relevance how strong the Rav's psak is when he gets on the phone to tell them, of course, the eighth day, or I don't know, I'm not sure, you got to count the shitas, we're going to play it safe, it's going to be the eighth day.